It has been recorded.
Yeah.
Features to tell you.
Contingent.
Three.
Obviously, a new feature that's popped up this week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had that in Kerry this morning. Countryside of May, gosh.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Zoom service. Today, I'm going to start by actually handing over to Trevor. First thing.
Good morning, everybody. I would just like to do a very brief welcome to Phil Snelson, who's leading our service this morning.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, Phil. I've looked at the sort of Methodist plan for Kingsthorpe over the next couple of months, and Phil isn't planned with us over the next couple of months. And then in August, he's off to pastures new. So I thought I would just like to take this opportunity just to thank Phil for all he's done for us at Kingsthorpe over the last
13 years. Yeah.
it is 13 years, although yeah. I mean, because of the way sort of Phil's ministry in Northampton has developed, it's only really over recent times that we almost feel as though we're only just getting to know you, Phil, and now you're off again. But I would like to thank you for all you've done, and just to ask God's blessing on you and your future ministry in Colville.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Thank you.
Over to you.
Me? Right. Okay. Jolly good. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Great to be with you again. I thoroughly enjoyed our Zoom service last time, so it's nice to be doing it again. As Trevor says, it's a shame that we won't likely get to do a live one in church, but we're just as live over the Zoom waves. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and so we particularly celebrate God's sending of his Holy Spirit upon Jesus' followers, the disciples, from that first Pentecost day. The church came to life, and many people heard the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that had been foretold a long time ago. The prophet Joel, whom Peter quotes in his sermon, says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if that isn't the good news, then I don't know what is. Glorious. We're going to move into worship with a couple of songs. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. And then, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. So join in worshipping from where you are. Lift your hearts to God and be open to the Holy Spirit as we enjoy the music and sing along together.
Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your heart.
Yeah.
There we go. Having a little trouble unmuting there. The difficulties arise. Some of us over the last 10 days or so have been following a prayer initiative, a prayer movement that has spread all over the world, which is under the banner of Thy Kingdom Come, and is modelled on the experiences leading up to and Pentecost, where Jesus ascended and then told them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And we've been in that period of waiting and praying. Our opening prayers come from some of their resources. We start with a response. Your response is, His Spirit is with us. And it's very simply, yes, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Try that again. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Jesus, whom we worship, our crucified, risen and ascended Lord, we have walked with you through this journey of love. We have faced the agony of your sufferings and death on a cross. We have rejoiced at your bursting free from the bonds of death. We have enjoyed your risen presence with us and your revealing of yourself through the breaking of bread. We have seen you return to the throne before which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And now, with followers from that time long ago, we await the coming of the promised Holy Spirit, your gift to your people, through whom we make Christ known to the world. Some more very simple bidding and responses. Every time I say a phrase, we all respond together, fill us with your Spirit. And there are seven of these. Lord, as we wait in silence, fill us with your Spirit. As we listen to your word, fill us with your Spirit. As we worship you in majesty, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your refreshing, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your renewing, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your equipping, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your empowering, fill us with your Spirit. Jesus' message was very simple. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. A moment or two just to bring ourselves before God, seeking his forgiveness. Lord, have mercy upon us. Forgive us where we have gone wrong and sinned, and help us to walk in your way from now on. Amen. May the God of love and power bring you back to himself, forgive you and free you from your sins, and restore you to newness of life by his Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we're going to get into the story. We're going to have the opening part and the coming of the Holy Spirit. I've spared our reader from actually having to pronounce all the names, but you'll know that story means that people came from all parts of the then known world. And then we'll have a video, which is a poem brought to us from a Methodist URC church in Newton Abbot, called The Story of Pentecost. And then we'll pick up and move on with further installments of Acts chapter 2. So we'll just let it flow, Adrian, I think. Thank you. So our first reader, beginning at the beginning of Acts chapter 2.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked each one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine."
The Story of Pentecost by Bob Hartman.
Blowing wind and tongues of flame, and then the Spirit came. Blowing wind and tongues of flame, and everything was changed.
Gathered in an upstairs room were Jesus' friends together.
But when the wind began to blow, it wasn't just the weather.
God's Holy Spirit filled this place with tongues of fire too. Appeared on each disciple's head, a sign of something new.
The tongues of fire soon turned into tongues of every nation, and Jesus' friends could speak them all without an education.
It was the Feast of Pentecost,
so Jews from every land
were gathered in Jerusalem.
They didn't understand.
God's Holy Spirit filled this place with tongues of fire too. Appeared on each disciple's head, a sign of something new.
Blowing wind and tongues of flame, and then the Spirit came. Blowing wind and tongues of flame, and everything was changed.
These people are from Galilee, but somehow they can speak to each of us in our own tongues, in Latin, French, and Greek.
But one man, not so courteous, said, "This is what I think." "They're babbling! They make no sense! They've had too much to drink!"
So Peter stood and told the crowd, "These men are sober, friends. God's promised this, it's coming from the Spirit that he sends."
Prophet Joel told us plain that one day we'd dream dreams, men and women, old and young, that day has come, it seems.
The God's own Spirit falls on all, the gift of Jesus Christ, who came to bring God's truth and lead us all from dark to light.
But right here in Jerusalem, that man was crucified. You killed the one that God had sent. He suffered here and died.
So God raised Jesus,
from the dead, to live and never die, and reign forever on a throne, seated at God's side.
Upset, the people cried to Peter, "Tell us what to do." "Repent and be baptized," he said. "Receive God's Spirit too."
So that is what the people did. 3,000 were baptized and followed Jesus from that day, reborn, renewed, alive.
God's Holy Spirit filled this place with tongues of fire too, appeared on each disciple's head, a sign of something new.
Blowing wind and tongues of flame, and then the Spirit came. Blowing wind and tongues of flame, and everything was changed.
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd.
"Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to do and by miracles, to do miracles and wonders and signs, which God did. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from agony, from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied,
"Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call."
With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer.
Thanks for those readings. Hope you enjoyed the little video poem as well. I quite like that, just ordinary church folk bringing us something much like we might have had if we were able to be together in church. Thank you to Trevor and Penny. As I made them work a little bit hard because it was cutting and skipping different bits of the text. So well done, guys. Good job and good recovery, Trevor. I don't know about you, but I'm not always very good at waiting. Ask Becky, my wife, about me and sitting in traffic jams. It doesn't usually take more than about 30 seconds before I'm twitching and wanting to reach for the sat nav for an alternative route to get round whatever is causing the delay. Particularly frustrating when you're on the motorway and you can't get off anyway. In Acts chapter 1, just before he ascended, Jesus told his followers to wait. To wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they did. And in verse 14 of chapter 1, we see what waiting means for them. It tells us they returned to the upper room, where their main priority was to gather and pray. And it says constantly. I found one version that actually says interceding day and night. This kind of waiting is not about sitting back, relaxing, doing whatever I please until something happens. This is active waiting, full of expectation, anticipation, looking forward in faith, being ready. Remember how Jesus talked about being ready? Being ready for God's next move, sending another just like Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I see in the Methodist Church, and actually in many of the more traditional denominations of church, is people desperately trying to work out how to save the church from the decline in attendance that's been going on the last few decades. Well, to be honest, probably since the 1960s. It's all a talk about this initiative and that program, techniques and restructuring, everything except a major emphasis on prayer. Of course, if you ask people, they'll agree. Oh, everything needs to be covered in prayer. It's not quite the same as making prayer the main focus, the number one priority, totally depending on God. On that first Pentecost, God took the initiative and gave the lead, coming as the Holy Spirit, and wonderful things began to happen. Blowing wind and tongues of flame. And then the Spirit came. Blowing wind and tongues of flame. And then everything changed. The disciples saw special signs expressing great power. People who had gathered from all over the world heard the disciples telling them about Jesus, telling them about Jesus in their own language. And apart from a few cynics, they were all amazed and began asking, what is this all about? Then the witnesses stepped up and began to tell them all about what God was doing. But it was all God's initiative. The disciples gave witness to what the Spirit was doing. And by the end of the chapter, we find that loads of people responded, about 3,000 on the first day. And the Lord added daily those who were being saved. They were in no doubt that it was God who was doing it, not Peter's brilliant preaching, or because they had the right program or technique or an alpha course or anything else, good as those things might be, when empowered by the Spirit. It was the work of the Spirit of God. And they carefully record that. The Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Which brings us back to prayer. Prayer is how we enter into what God is doing and wants to do. It's not so much about getting God to do what we want or what we think we need him to do for us. It's about how we align ourselves with the Lord's plans and release him in the Holy Spirit to work through us and around us. Prayer is about laying the groundwork, being ready, ploughing the field before sowing the seed, preparing ourselves and the situation. Prayer is the key to being open to God, moving among us, through us, by his Spirit. I wonder if you've ever stopped to wonder whether the disciples actually had the energy to go again. They'd been involved in 3 years of ministry with Jesus, and the last 50 days had just been a complete roller coaster of lows and highs. They could easily have been emotionally drained and worn out by everything, especially as Jesus had gone and made it clear that he wasn't coming back. Much of traditional church is struggling to find ways to stop the decline, some even with half a hope or perhaps even a hint of a vision, maybe, to grow. I also hear lots of church leaders sounding very tired and worn out, keeping going because there seems to be nobody else to do the job. Do we have the energy to go again? It seems to me that we really are reaching the point where we will have no choice but to wait for the Lord to give us a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit to empower his church once again. It's actually the way we're supposed to do it anyway. It's just that we seem to have forgotten that somewhere along the way. We need another Pentecost. We need another Pentecost. But are we open? Are we open to God sending the Holy Spirit to move powerfully over our town, our land again? And are we ready? Open to being part of that? At Pentecost, those who were not open to God said, "These men are drunk." What would our modern version of that be? Ah, we don't want happy clappy here, which is shorthand for that's all superficial overreaction. It's not our way to be emotional. We don't want that. Have we thrown the baby out with the bathwater? Remember, God came to us in a baby. We hold too tight. God calls us to love him with all of our being, heart and soul, as well as mind and strength, which includes our emotions and our spirit, because they're all an integral part of our being, our humanity. I can't help wondering why we would not be at least a bit emotional if the great God of the universe is making himself known to us, presencing himself in his wondrous, immeasurable love. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's love? It's a beautiful, sometimes exciting, sometimes joyful, sometimes peaceful, humbling, amazing thing to experience God's goodness and love. And yes, a fresh new freedom and even a power to live in Christ. Why would it not make us feel a bit overwhelmed, even a bit giddy sometimes? even though God is so kind and so gentle that he doesn't give us more than he knows we can take. The trouble is if we dig in and hold on to our own control of self too tightly, we don't allow any God control. The Holy Spirit's fruit of self-control. Very quickly, it becomes resisting. The Bible calls it quenching, dismissive of the moving of the Holy Spirit. And we don't experience anything because we've shut God out. It's just emotionalism. The thing that strikes me about Acts 2 is that the main reason for the coming of the Holy Spirit, that first Pentecost, is not primarily about giving the disciples wonderful feelings about God or gifts of the Spirit so that they knew whether or not they had received the Spirit. That was pretty obvious. The Holy Spirit comes to empower the disciples to be witnesses. Just as Jesus said, to be witnesses to what God has done in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, so that others can come to know Jesus too. That's what makes the church grow. We need another Pentecost. We need another Pentecost. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is just the time for waiting. It's okay, you can play the music if you like, Adrian. This is just another time for waiting, and being open to the Spirit. Now we can continue praying and voice our prayers in our next song. Spirit of the living God, fill me in you. And we continue in prayer. And we now bring our prayers for others, for God's church, for the world, for those whom we know locally in our neighbourhoods and workplaces and around. And if you've been following Thy Kingdom Come, you'll know that we've been carrying notionally five, but a few people who we've been focusing on prayer personally, each of us. So there'll be an opportunity just to raise individual people to God. It would be lovely if some of you felt able to join in and just to voice a prayer, just unmute yourself and lead us, and then mute again afterwards. If there are times of quiet, then that's no worry. Don't be awkward about that. Don't feel awkward. And we'll round it off with the Lord's Prayer in a few minutes. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for sending your Holy Spirit at Pentecost, for fulfilling your promise and for giving us the power, the peace, the love, the joy to live in your life. Father God, we pray for your church today. So many parts of our church, Lord, as we have said, we need another Pentecost. We need a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We need a fresh inspiring, a fresh empowering, a fresh envisioning, and to be filled with love and joy in the knowing and experiencing of the life of Jesus in your Holy Spirit in each of our hearts personally and as your people together. So we pray, send your Holy Spirit down upon your church, not just Methodist and Baptist, but your whole Christian church in Northampton and across our land and across the world. Hear our cry for your church, Lord, as we've been praying, thy kingdom come, may your Holy Spirit come. Bless your world, Lord, and fill us with your Spirit, we pray. Loving God, we lift to you the world and particularly the ongoing crises that are caused by the COVID pandemic, particularly nations and people, health services and those falling ill, those losing their lives, those being bereaved. We pray for India, for Kenya, for parts of Africa, other parts of Africa and just across the world and Europe and America, the Americas too, where it's still spreading. Loving God, you can do so much more than we can even imagine or ask. Help us in this pandemic. Help us to share our skills and knowledge of the medications that have developed, and we thank you for those. Bring strength and courage and refreshment to medical teams, and bring the pandemic low. Help us in your power to fight it off. We pray too for local councils beginning new seasons, new terms of office for people who've been freshly elected. We pray that you give them wisdom to know and courage to do what is right for the people whom they are serving. And we pray for our government and the government of the world's nations, that they too might have the best interest of the people and of others to the fore in their mind. Lord, bless your world and fill us with your Spirit. And we bring you prayers, Lord, individually from our hearts, just those whom we wish to lift before you now. This is an opportunity just to offer a prayer.
Lord, we pray for all who are on our hearts this time, especially our families that many of us have not seen for so many months. And Lord, we pray as we are now able to travel, you will be with us. We also remember, Lord, that you are there. On that day of Pentecost, your Spirit came upon all. And Lord, we just pray that you would enable us to open our hearts, that we might do your work, your will, wherever you have called us. Amen.
Amen. Lord, bless your world and fill us with your Spirit. Let's join together in praying the words that Jesus gave his followers, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our final song together, a final hymn, O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us, revive your church with life and power. To conclude with saying the there we go.
Yeah,
we're having trouble unmuting this morning. Press the button and nothing happens. Just to finish off, I thought we would say the grace together. Is it possible, Adrian, that we could have our gallery view rather than a PowerPoint? There we go. So you see, if I put my hands about that here, then you can put your hands in your windows and just about be touching each other's hands and holding hands. And if you've got two people in your window, you can hold hands as well.
Correct.
All right. Just a bit of fun.
Oh dear.
Okay. So there we go. May the grace of
our Lord Jesus Christ
and the love of God. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be
with us all.
Amen.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Phil, for leading our service today. The message that you brought is one that we all need to think of in the days to come. We have just our normal notices. There's prayer in the mornings on Wednesday and Friday at 11 this week. And that's Sunday morning, the Zoom service will be here at 11 a.m. and it's being led by Paul Greenway. Are there any other notices anybody wishes to bring to us today?
Can I just say, those of you that know Ted Scarfe, he passed away, unfortunately, last Sunday. So if you can remember Avril and the family in prayers at the moment.
Anything else anybody wishes to that's all. Okay, we are just looking forward. Church will be open on the first Saturday in June for private prayer. The pastor's service will be on the 6th of June, and we will be having an LRW-led hybrid service on the 13th of June. So just putting these things in your diaries, preparing yourselves for what's happening over the next few weeks. So thank you very much. It's good to see everybody, and let's wish everybody Godspeed, God bless as we go into our week.
Bye. Thank you.
Passing that over.
Yeah.
Catherine.
Bye.
Bye. See you, Joyce.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a lovely day.
Bye.